Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is God's day. We are God's people. Let us give thanks. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us today, especially if you're here for the very first time. We want to welcome you and hope that you will make your home with us. Let me invite all of you to introduce yourself to somebody you don't know. And that goes for those of us who are here week in and week out, but it also goes for you who are here just recently or for the first time. If we don't get to you first to introduce ourselves, you come introduce yourself to us. We're pleased that you're here. If you'll look in your bulletin, you'll find a couple of inserts there. There's lots of information about how you can be involved in the many things God is doing through West End United Methodist Church. I'm going to lift up just a few of those. We will begin our observance of Lent this week, and that all starts with a pancake supper on Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. in McWhorter Hall. If you want to beat the rush, you can buy your tickets ahead of time in Reed Hall today. Let me advise you to do that because the lines can get fairly long. And then at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary, we have a jazz mass. If you've never attended, believe me, it will be different than any service you have ever attended. And it's a very joyful celebration of the many gifts God has given us. But it also prepares us for the two services the next day on Ash Wednesday, one at noon and one at 5:30, which are very solemn services. And so the contrast between the joy and exuberance of Tuesday night and the solemnity of Wednesday, for me at least, gets Lent started off in the right way. Let me invite you to join us. Again, our youth will be taking part in the 30-hour famine. There is a table in Reed Hall where you can learn more about that. There is an insert in your bulletin that will give you more information. And today, if you stop by the table in Reed Hall, you can see two wristbands, one representing a malnourished 3-year-old and the other representing a healthy 3-year-old. Show you the effects of malnourishment on a young child. You can give to support that. Our communion offering this month is going to support that fast, and it's a way of our young people identifying with those who don't choose to fast, but who go hungry each and every day, and also giving them an opportunity to help along the way. We have some alternative giving cards for your Valentine. Now, we do this at Christmas already, but if you would like to give a gift in honor of your Valentine and then have a card to send them telling them you gave them that gift, you can give that donation in Reed Hall at the table where we have those Valentines. We also have Fair Trade chocolate, coffee, and tea available, and other information about ways that you can give alternative gifts. Next Sunday, February 17th at 4 p.m. here in the sanctuary, the chancel choir will present the Salve Regina Mass for choir and two organs. Now, this is the American premiere of this particular piece. It was composed for Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, and the featured organists are Olivier Latrie and our own Andrew Reisinger. That's 4 p.m. next Sunday. I got to hear a little of this on the retreat with the choir. It's just a remarkable and interesting piece, so let me invite you to come next Sunday. We will have a charge conference on February 19th at 5:30 at the beginning of our ministry table meeting, and this is called for one specific purpose, that is to extend to your clergy staff, to your pastors, the same adjustment in income that you've already extended to your lay staff. And so if you are a member of church council, we expect you to be there, but if you're a church member, you're also invited to be there. That's February 19th at 5:30. After this service in McWhirter Hall, there will be an informational meeting about the Gifts and Talents program. This is a program that's been offered at this church at various times. And if you'd like to learn more about discerning and using your gifts, you can go after this service around noon to McWhirter Hall, where Byron Burris, Jeff Hoppen, and Tom Lee will be sharing their witness about the change that this program made in their lives and the way that they are disciples of Jesus Christ. And I know many of you may be interested in hearing those witnesses and in taking part in the program as well. God has gifted and blessed us so that we might be blessings to others. Let us use this hour to absorb the blessings that we intend to pass along.
Come, ye, let's love the Lord and let your love be known. Join in a song of sweet accord and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne.
worship, all you who love and serve the Lord.
Outsiders and insiders, old-timers and the newcomers, the young and the old and the in-between.
Come as you are, for this is God's house, a house of prayer for all people.
God welcomes us.
The presence of God surrounds us, and yet too often we go about our daily lives oblivious to the power of the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. Let us confess together the ways in which we are blind to God's presence. Holy God, we confess that we are an arrogant people, so full of knowledge that we leave little room for love. Forgive us for judging others when we should simply listen. Forgive us for pushing others away when we should welcome them. Forgive us when we value protecting ourselves over serving others. Forgive us when we find comfort in uniformity instead of celebrating diversity. Guide us, great God, to live according to your unconditional love. Hear these words of assurance. God has promised that whenever we repent and seek a new union with God, forgiveness is ours. That promise comes true now. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from Paul's epistle to the Galatians. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if there are any youngsters who would care to come down here and join me, I would love to have you do so. Here come some folks. Good, 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 good. Hi, come on down. Here, it's okay. There are other folks coming down with you. They're following you. You won't be by yourself. Good. Come on down and have a seat. Wonderful. Margaret and I have two daughters, one named Sarah and one named Elizabeth, and they're grown now. They're all grown up. But when right before the time that our first daughter, Sarah, was born, my dad had an idea that he was going to plant some trees in the back of his house, some fruit trees. And that one day, his dream was that he'd be able to walk out there with his granddaughters and pick the fruit from it and tell them about the trees. So he ordered some apple trees and some peach trees and some pear trees. And he planted, and there weren't a lot, but he planted a few back there. Now, he knew they probably wouldn't have any fruit on them, any pears or peaches or apples, for a little while. So he was willing to wait. Well, while he was waiting, Sarah's little sister Elizabeth was born. And as they got older, he thought, well, we'll walk out there and we'll pick the fruit and we'll have a great time. Well, even after 5 or 6 years, the trees didn't produce much fruit. There were just a very few apples and a few pears and almost no peaches. And the fruit they did produce, the birds would come and eat it before any of us could get out there and eat it ourselves or pick it. So my dad's dream about walking through his backyard with all the fruit trees and picking fruit and talking to his granddaughters about them never really came to be, and he was pretty disappointed. Now, I'm going to be talking about a time when St. Paul was saying that we're like trees. Now, imagine you're a tree, and what kind of fruit would you produce? Well, we wouldn't produce apples or peaches or pears, would we? No, St. Paul says what we produce is love and joy and peace and gentleness and faithfulness and kindness, self-control. Did you ever think about that? That we're kind of like trees, and the things that we do to love others, to be kind to them, to help them, are like the apples and the peaches and the pears that fruit trees produce. Now, if my dad was sad when his trees didn't produce fruit, just imagine how God feels if we don't do those things. God must be sad too. But I think the cool thing is God has given us a chance to work in what God is doing in this world by being loving and kind and gentle, so that we can be a part of everything God is doing. God is calling us to be partners in that. I think that's pretty cool. As you listen to the sermon, imagine that you're a tree and think about what kind of kindness fruit or patience fruit or joy fruit or love fruit that you might produce, okay? Let's pray. We thank you, God, for calling us to be a part of what you're doing in the world. With your help, we can do all those things, produce all that fruit of love and joy and kindness, peace and patience, with your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. At the beginning of Galatians, St. Paul is really angry. In fact, he is livid. If you look at the very opening of the book, after a brief salutation that you would put at the front of any letter, pretty much, Paul lights into the Galatians, beginning at verse 6, chapter 1. I am astonished that you were so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Strong language. What's going on here? Well, you see, Paul had traveled among the churches in Galatia, and he had taught them that you did not have to become a Jew before you became a follower of Jesus. They had settled that. He had gone to Jerusalem with Peter, met with James, the brother of Jesus, head of the church at Jerusalem. They had a meeting, they had a council there, and the decision was that if Gentiles, non-Jews, wanted to be followers of Jesus, they didn't have to become Jewish. So that's what Paul was preaching. In fact, he felt like God had sent him specifically to tell Gentiles, you're welcome here. You don't have to become Jewish first. But then he went on his way and he gets word that there have been people traveling through the churches in Galatia saying, oh no, Paul was all wrong about that. If you are male, you got to be circumcised. If you're female, you have to take the mikvahs, the ritual baths. You all have to keep kosher, keep the food laws, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus. And there are people who are believing them. And right now, they are specializing, as Paul writes, in deciding who's in and who's out. Do you have to be Jewish to be Christian? Can anybody be a Christian without becoming Jewish first? They've gotten distracted. Paul thinks they've gotten completely distracted from their particular job description. Now, by chapter 5, the passage we read, Paul has settled down a little bit, okay? And so, in what you heard, Paul gives the job description of the followers of Jesus. They are to be trees that produce fruit. That fruit, coming from God's Spirit, fruit is singular, by the way, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, he contrasts those to the things that are destructive, the things that people do that are harmful and hurtful to other people, and he gives a whole list of those. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. Those are all things that destroy the fabric of community. But the fruit of the Spirit builds up community, allows us to do what God has called us to do. Now, a while back, our staff parish committee and our ministry table were given copies of a little book called Bearing Fruit. Sounds familiar, based on this passage. And the whole idea was that we as congregations are supposed to be exercising these gifts for the whole world. And as we look at what we do in the church, it raised an issue that was like a question, so that in anything that you did, you would ask, so what? We are doing it so that something else happens? Or are we doing it just because we've always done it that way? You know, churches are kind of partial to doing things because they've always done them that way. Once something gets started in a church, it's almost impossible to stop it, even when its purpose is long gone. There's a story they tell about a monastery, and it was an open monastery, open doors and windows, and there was a dog that wandered in and out of the service, so the abbot decided to have the dog tied up outside the monastery. Well, that abbot aged and died, and the monks who knew the reasoning behind this died, and the dog finally died, and the other monks said, well, what do we do? They said, well, we have to find another dog and tie it up out there. That's how we do things. That's how we do things in the church, too. Sometimes we lose the sense of why we began something, its purpose. It was done so that some good thing could come from it. So we've been going through all of the things that we do around the church and saying, are we doing it so that the fruit of the Spirit will come out of it? So that our gifts can be shared? One of the reasons that we're focusing on membership vows is that so that you can take seriously the words that you say whenever anyone is baptized, whenever anyone joins, that you will support what God is doing through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. That's what we're to be about. You see, we don't provide the seed. We don't provide the ground. God provides all that. We preachers do provide a good bit of the fertilizer, however. And I know you think I'm being facetious here, but I'm not. Because our job, like fertilizer, is to encourage your growth, right? To enhance your growth. There's a writer named Jean Giono. Wrote a little book, thin little book, called The Man Who Planted Trees. It's set around the time of World War I. The main character goes hiking in an area in Provence that is just desolate. The little villages have been abandoned. There is barren land, no crops, no trees, no nothing. And as he's hiking through this area, he happens upon a shepherd who's keeping a flock of sheep on the very edge of some pasture land where there is a little grass growing. He talks to the shepherd. The shepherd invites him to his home. They have a small lunch together, and he notices that as they're eating, the shepherd is taking seeds, taking acorns that he'd picked up, and throwing away the bad ones and keeping the good ones. Said he had about 100 left when he finished. And then through the afternoon, he had a shepherd's staff that had a metal end on it, and he would put a hole in the ground and drop an acorn in. Put a hole in the ground, drop an acorn in. He said, what are you doing? He said, what does it look like? I'm planting trees. He said, I plant about 100 a day. They won't all come up, but a few will. Some will. The main character then goes off to World War I and doesn't return to that area for about 10 years. And when he comes back, he's amazed that that desolate area is covered with trees, some of them fairly small, some of them larger. Within this forested area, small villages were beginning to be built again. Life was beginning to return. He thought, well, maybe this guy who planted trees had the right idea. He went to see if he could find him again, and he found him in the same area where he had lived before. He'd given up being a shepherd. He started keeping bees. Because, you see, it didn't matter how he earned his living, because, you see, he had a vocation. He was the man who planted trees. And so the protagonist talks to him a little bit, asks how he's been doing, what he's been doing. Well, not only is he planting acorns, he's planting birch trees and other kinds of trees. Before the story ends, the main character who's telling it says, sometime after this fellow died, the government sent the Forestry Service out. They had some guests coming, and they wanted to show them this natural forest that had just sprung up. It didn't just spring up, but there was one man who knew what he was called to do, didn't know exactly what fruit would come from that, but he faithfully did it every single day. It wasn't how he earned his living. He was simply the man who planted trees. We are to be the people who plant the seeds of faith in the world. We are to be the people who witness to that faith by our joy and our love and our gentleness and our kindness and our generosity, our self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. A little later, Paul talks about how in the churches in Galatia, people are competing against one another and envying one another. Again, all of which are distractions. We get easily distracted, we Christians. It's hard to keep the main thing, but the main thing is you've been gifted, and you've been gifted to serve. Started a long time ago. It started when God called Abraham and Sarah and said, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea, and I'm going to bless them. But God doesn't stop there. I'm going to bless them so they will be a blessing to all nations. We are blessed for one reason and one reason only, to be a blessing to others. We are gifted for one reason and one reason only, to serve. You know, we're right in the middle of our membership vows, the prayers, presents, gifts. We're finishing up gifts. In Lent, we'll start service. And then finally, in Easter, witness. But you see, giftedness and service go hand in hand. We are gifted to serve. We serve because God has given us the gifts. The two go together. In fact, all of these fit together. You know, my fear, I've mentioned it before, is that we'll go through them and say, okay, prayer, check that off the list. I can stop that. Presents, okay, done that. Gifts, yep, finished. Service, well, I did that service project once. Yep, that's it. Witness, makes me a little nervous. We'll mark that one off. That's my fear, you know, because I know that's how it happens. A number of years ago, when I was serving in East Nashville during Lent, instead of giving something up, I took something on. It was exercise. I joined the Y. I went 3 times a week, religiously, you might say, since it was a Lenten discipline. And then on Easter, I stopped. It's true. And very quickly, I lost anything that I had gained during Lent, and I had to start back again. That's the idea. These are not disciplines for a season. These are disciplines to carry you through your whole life, so that when you produce fruit, it's not that hurtful, destructive fruit that Paul describes, but it's fruit of the Spirit. We do things so that God's love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and generosity and self-control can be known to others. And not just others who are around now. I have a good friend named Donald Davis, wonderful storyteller. If you've ever heard Donald, he is as good as it gets when it comes to storytelling. But he was a Methodist preacher when he took up this practice of storytelling, retired to do it full time. But when he was a Methodist preacher, he served a small parish in western North Carolina, several churches. He tells a story about going to visit one of the members of his church. This particular man was in his 90s, lived kind of in an isolated area off by himself, and Donald would go and check on him every now and again. And one day he came and he knocked on the door and didn't get an answer, which frightened him a little bit, so he just opened the door. People didn't lock their doors in that place in that time. And he called out for the man's name, and he didn't answer. He thought, oh my goodness gracious, he's come out here and fallen somewhere and hurt himself. So he starts looking around the yard, and he walks into the back, and in the very back he sees this older gentleman on his hands and knees. He thought, oh no, he's trying to get up, he's fallen, and nobody was here to help him up. So he rushes back there, and he finds that the man is planting a tree. And he sees a number of other trees that he's planted along the way. Donald said, what in the world are you doing? He said, what does it look like? I'm planting trees. He said that older gentleman looked up at him and said, one of these days, we'll be glad we have these trees. Now that man wasn't going to live to see those trees to maturity. Another generation was going to enjoy the fruit of his labor. We don't just work for one time in one place. We simply faithfully do what God has called us to do, to be the loving light of Christ in the world. That's what we say we're supposed to be, sharing the fruit of the Spirit, sharing our gifts in service, so that people coming down the line who haven't yet been born will know the love of God in Jesus Christ. That is our calling. There is no higher calling. Thanks be to God. Another way we remind ourselves of our history and our calling is through creeds and affirmations. I invite you to stand with me as you're able. Turn to number 885. There you'll find a modern affirmation. Please join me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
One of the great joys of this community is welcoming each and every person who's joined us in worship here at West End, where we believe God loves everyone unconditionally, and it kind of calls us to do the same thing. If you're a guest, we invite you to join us out the doors to your right for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, cup of coffee, get to know some people. And if it's your first visit with us, we invite you to stop by the Bread for the Journey table and pick up a small loaf of bread as a gift of appreciation for joining us. In the pews, there's an attendance pad that you're invited to pass down and sign in if you haven't yet done so. And as they're coming back, I invite you to open those and look at the names of the people who worship with you as a way of building community. And would like to ask, if you're sitting on the inside of each pew in that first seat down the center, after it comes back, if you could just tear out the pages that are in there and when you leave, lay them on top of the page, that makes the task of gathering those attended sheets much easier for the hospitality ministers. If you are a college student, you're invited to a lunch. You're going to gather out here in Reed Hall, out these doors, and you're going to go somewhere together as a community of college students, and that's for graduate or undergraduate students. Lastly, the pew racks directly in front of you in the pews contain a gray card. One side is for prayer concerns or comments or joys, and the other side is for questions for staff or lay leadership. After you complete those, you can drop them in the offering plates when they come around in just a moment. As a congregation, our sympathy is extended to the family of Forrest Parmley, who passed away yesterday. He is survived by his wife, Janie Parmley, and the service will be held here in the sanctuary this coming Friday at 3 o'clock, with visitation running from 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock. Our hearts are connected with that family. We also express our sympathies for the family Cecile and Pride Scanlon as they mourn the death of Cecile's father, Dr. Vern Lanier. Dr. Lanier died January 24th in Durham, North Carolina, and he's also survived by his grandchildren, Nick and Abby Scanlon. Services were held yesterday, February 9th, in North Carolina. And our sympathy is also extended to the family of Lynn and Lewis Hoyt, who are mourning the death of Lynn's father, John Orr Franklin, who died February 6th in Franklin. Also, his survivors are the grandchildren William, Betty, and Rebecca Hoyt. Services will be held this coming Friday at 1 p.m. at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Franklin. We hold all of these families in our thoughts and prayers. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love, through the waters of baptism and our vows, you've created a shared identity in us, an identity known as the body of Christ here at West End. This connection to our faith community is a blessing to each of us as we travel life's journey together. May we recognize your call on our lives to use the unique and distinctive gifts you have given each of us in ways that complement the varied gifts of the others. Move us to recognize and honor each other's uniqueness so that we can use the full myriad of our communal gifts to best care for your creation and affirm life. Wherever people suffer, use us as instruments of comfort, support, and compassion. When people are sad, use us to remind them of your unconditional love for them. Wherever people are lost, use us to give them patient guidance. And wherever hatred, anger, and negativity dwell, allow us to be instruments of reconciliation and peace. And wherever people feel beaten down by their own brokenness, empower us to invite them to travel the ancient path toward wholeness right alongside each of us. In the empowering nature of your love, we pray. Amen. Let us now join our voices together as a community to pray the prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We all are truly provided varied and unique gifts to use and share as a community. One way we love each other in doing this is by sharing our financial resources toward our communal participation in God's work. I invite you now to present your tithes and offerings.
And now I send you forth, empowered by the Spirit, to share the fruit of God's Spirit moving in and through you. And may God, who is the light of the whole universe, Jesus Christ, who taught us how to be the light of the world, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to be the loving light of Christ for those around us, be with you today, this week, and forevermore. Go in peace.